Okay, let me just read this. The Bible has a central theme. There is an overarching story where all other stories point to. So whenever you would read the Bible, always remember, you know, there is a central theme. Now what is that? Tim Keller says this. The whole Bible is one big story with a central storyline. What is that? God restores the world lost in Eden by intervening in history to call out and form a new humanity. This intervention climaxes in Jesus Christ, who accomplishes salvation for us that we could not accomplish for ourselves. Now, that's a very lengthy one, but that captures the reason why we have the Bible today. Simply put, how can you summarize the whole Bible? What do you think is the central story or the central theme of the Bible? If you are asked, no, yung if you are asked by a non-Christian, ano ba yung Bible? Ano ba yung kwento na yan? Tungkol saan ba yan? Now, how would you say it? How would you answer it na very concise and yet it captures everything? Hindi nyo kaya? So, paano mo sasagutin? Pag tinanong ka, ano ba yung Bible? Para saan ba yan? Ano bang kwento yan?
Good question. I'll give you password, the document's number.
Let me get back to you on that. Anyone? Yes. Jackris ulit. Okay.
Whenever I encounter that question, I always go back to the basic. Sapagkat ganun na lang ang pagmamahal ng Diyos sa sangkatauhan na ibinigay niya ang kanyang bugtong na anak. And then from there, I start like just like sharing the one verse evangelism.
Okay.
But it's more of historical approach.
Very good. Ano? At least you're referring to a verse, a particular verse in the Bible that is common to everyone. John 3:16. They would say that's the heart of the Bible. Ano? It's the story of God reconciling himself, sinful man who cannot otherwise save themselves. So ganun lang kasimple yon. It's a story of reconciliation. Why? Kasi sinners tayo and we cannot do anything about it. That is why God sent His Son to save us. Okay? So ganun lang kasimple. So every time that you would read the Bible, remember that central theme. Okay? Of course, you would learn a lot of things from the Bible, but put that framework in your head. Ano yung parang, okay, ano yung sinasabi ng passage na to about Jesus? Or at least, paano nagko-contribute to dun sa central theme ng salvation nga, ng God reaching out to mankind? So ano, let's do a quick activity here. Okay, you could, yung open your gadgets for the Bible. Okay? And then, nasa Joshua ulit tayo. Joshua chapter 2 and then Joshua chapter 6. Now, kumbaga table work na lang, in your table, at least 3 in each table, ano? So, gawan nyo nga nung parallel si Rahab at saka yung Gibeonites. So, ano yung pinagkapareho nitong mga to? Yung sa story at least. Okay? Chapter 2 yan, makikita mo si Rahab. Chapter 9, yung Gibeonite deception. Alright? Sige, I'll give you time to do that. List down, ano yung similarities ng dalawa, ni Rahab at saka ng mga Gibeonites. Okay. Alright, so let's hear it, per table na lang. Okay, everybody look up here now. Alright, everybody listen. Okay, yung group muna nila, Anna, Eunice, Jael. So what are the similarities that you saw? And please, please be honest, baka mangopia na lang yung iba. Ayun, maganda yun, ah. Okay, kung ano lang yung nakita nyo, yun lang. Alright, Christians naman tayo, no? Okay, go.
So, kami meron po kaming 6 things.
Ilan?
6.
Wow, okay.
They were both slated to die.
Okay.
Dapat, kasama sila dapat sa iwa-wipe out.
Alright.
Sa Canaan. And then, nag-discarte sila parehas.
Okay.
And that's related to number 3, which is they both heard and believed the power of the God of Israel.
Okay.
Thus, nag-discarte sila. Number 4, they both partnered with Israel because they believed that was the only way to yun lang yung hope nila para wag silang mamatay.
Okay.
And then number five, they were both spared, and not only sila pero pati yung family or you know sa Gibeon yung city nila. Then Israel kept their promise on both sides kahit na sa Gibeon na deceived sila pero they still kept their promise.
All right, very good. Okay, the next group.
They both heard about what God has done for Israel and they feared the Israelites because of it. Yun lang.
Okay. Next. Tama naman eh.
Both of them, si Rahab po at saka yung Gibeonites, they had the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But Rahab, because of that fear, it led her to help the people of God. On the other hand, the Gibeonite led them to deceive mm-hmm. the people of God. And then, ano yung isa? Si Rahab, siya yung nilapitan nila Joshua. On the other hand, the Gibeonites, sila yung lumapit.
Okay.
Yun. Tapos, si Rahab, nagkaroon pa ng condition si Joshua na if you lie, the blood of your relatives will be upon your head. Parang ganun. On the other hand, sa Gibeonites po, parang natrap na sila Joshua. Mm-hmm. Parang wala na tayong magawa, nabigyan na natin yung oath. Parang,
all right.
And they found out of it.
Okay. Next, the group.
Jonah po from Santa Rosa. para po sa group namin, both Rahab and Gibeonites, number one, they were both, they practiced both the deception. Second, they both acknowledge that that the Lord, that yung power ni Lord, I mean that God is with Israelites.
Okay.
And pangatlo, both Rahab and the Gibeonites received yung promise na binigay sa kanila nung mga ng Israelites.
Very good. Sila Lynn muna.
And then, both are new how powerful is the God of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Tapos second, both of them was treat kindly or they receive yung promise sa kanila or there were a treaty that was na agreed upon.
Uh-huh.
Yun. Then, that's all.
Hindi ba ikaw lang yan? Or okay. Sinisigurado ka lang, Lynn.
Rahab and the Gibeonites were they were Canaanites. Canaan yung buong lugar. So they were Canaanites and they heard how God has been granting Israel victory, ganun, kung ano yung pinamis ni God sa kanila. And they asked for parang alliance or protection
mm-hmm.
para ma-under sila, parang masakop din sila. Parang spiritual, masakop sila ng Israel.
Uh-huh. All right. Very good. Next.
It's a group effort.
Okay.
Both Gibeon and Rahab, Gibeonites and Rahab, they're both liars. Parang they Rahab lied when spies, ganun. And sila, yung Gibeonites naman, worn out, nagpanggap sila na kawawa kami just to mm-hmm. para maano yung favor sa kanila ni Joshua. They both responded in fear. They both know that the Lord is giving the land to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And a revelation, they're both from Canaan.
Okay.
Both Gibeonites and Rahab acknowledge that there is a God more powerful than their tribe. And then both also had the fear of death.
Mm-hmm.
Both acknowledge that the only way for them to be saved was to go to Joshua and make a treaty. So whether it's lying against, parang they were willing to turn back from yung group nila, parang si Rahab from her group, tapos si Gibeonite as a Gibeonite, parang ganun. Parang they're willing to turn their back so that they can have a treaty. So whether they lie or not, so yun. Tapos and in both situations, Joshua were true to their word, to the treaty. Kahit na alam nila na parang si parang they were saved. because of the treaty, Gibeonite and Rahab were saved because of that, kahit na kalaban talaga sila.
Yep. So, okay, next, last one.
Actually, both of them were in fear na, because they knew what their destiny is supposed to be. And that's why they made treaty. Though one was given favor, the other made it through deception. In the end, Joshua still gave his word and made true what he said, which is he spared them.
Okay, very good. I mean, several similarities, ano, yung mga sinabi nyo. Ano, you would see different insights from two different stories, and yet they are very related. But talking about the central theme, what is the central theme here? Ano ba yung commonality nila? At least two groups got it, ano? They are Canaanites. Okay? They are Gentiles. Alright? So, ano yung central, anong, yung, what is common in these two stories that would contribute to the central theme? Well, the central theme of the Bible is that God is reconciling the fallen man to himself, even the Gentiles. So makikita mo, no, even in the Old Testament, the heart of God is already there to reach out to the Gentiles, not only to the chosen people, the Israelites. So makikita mo, di ba, parehong ano yan eh. I mean, of course, they both resulted into deception, parehong liars, parehong gumawa ng kwento, parehong nanloko, and yet, they got saved pa rin towards the end. So it's good to understand, yun nga, may overarching na, ano, na storyline yan. Okay? Again, God is reaching out to fallen men, kahit hindi nila deserve. So, Old Testament pa lang, nandun na yung heart ni Lord for all people. And praise God, that extends to us now. Kaya tayo kasama ngayon sa mga naligtas. I mean, kasama tayo kila Rahab at saka yung sa mga Gibeonites. Pareho tayo ng situation. But, praise God, yun nga, we are all safe. Okay, so nakuha nyo? Nakuha nyo yung, I mean, if you would apply the idea of a central theme, you would always look for that in stories in the Bible. Look at the story ni Moses. If you read this story, he's an archetype of the Savior. Di ba? In a way, he is, quote and unquote, the Savior of Israel. Much like Jesus. Di ba? So, ganun yun. Pag nagbasa ka ng Bible, hanapin mo palagi yon. Now, let me go through this. Principles for proper understanding of scriptures. Number one, context. I have to hurry. I have to cover a lot of things. So, bibilisan ko lang. Sorry, ah. Context. Examining the verses in the paragraph for a proper understanding of what is being discussed. Okay, context. Every word in the Bible is part of a verse. And every verse is a part of a paragraph. And every paragraph is part of a book. And every book is part of the whole scripture. Now, pag sinabing context, pag may nabasa ka, pag sinabing interpret it or understand it in context, you have to read what is before and what is after, and you have to see it in the light of the whole story of the Bible. Okay? Meaning to say, you be very careful in taking one verse and creating a doctrine out of it, or creating or making a belief system out of it. Give you an example. One of the most commonly used verses, di ba? Yung Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Many times, this has been used in offering. Yung pag nag-encourage tayo sa offering, di ba? Lagi nating sinasabi yan. A lot of Christians would even claim this verse for themselves. Not understanding the context. Ano yung context nito? Paul was talking about the Philippians. Now, what is the heart of the Philippians? I mean, they are a very generous people. Okay? And pag inaral mo yan, Paul would even commend them when nobody else was willing to help, the Philippians would help. Okay, even if they are in need themselves, they would still help. That is why Paul is now giving this blessing, this promise. Now, because of your heart of generosity, because you are sacrificial in your giving, my God will supply all your needs, will give you all that you need. Okay? So, ibig sabihin, if you're not generous, if you're not sacrificial, you cannot claim this verse. Nakuha niyo yan? So, pag kinlaim mo yan, out of context ka, it won't work. Okay? And the frustration is, you're holding on to the Word of God and nothing is happening. And the fault is not with God, it's with you. Kasi out of context ka. Gets? Okay. Number two. principle when you're studying the Bible, literal sense. A word, phrase, sentence, or passage will have one primary meaning, and that usually is its literal sense. So, ibig sabihin, kung ano yung nabasa mo, take it as it is. Don't over-spiritualize things. Okay? When the plain sense of the scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. Again, never over-spiritualize. Alright? You only don't take it literally when parang ano, parang mahirap, parang unnatural siya or absurd. Okay? Doon mo lang i-spiritualize. Doon mo lang bibigyan ng spiritual meaning. I'll give you an example. Go beyond the literal. Matthew 18, verse 8. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and to be thrown into eternal fire. Verse 9. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. So you know you cannot take that literally. O pwede rin, bahala ka. No, okay, nasa sa'yo na yan. But, okay, hindi literal yan. Alright? The Bible is just telling you a principle. What is that? Okay? It has to be consistent with the whole of the Bible. Okay? What does the Bible teach in other parts? Putting on and putting off. Putting to death and then being led by the Holy Spirit. Yun yung principle na tinuturo dito. So don't take it literally. Na pag nagkasala ka, I mean, you look lustfully at something or someone, you take off your, you gouge your eyes. Hindi naman ganun, no? So, well, ikaw, bahala ka nga, no? Okay. O yun, o naman. Labo nun, ano? Siyempre, si Jack lang makakaisip, no? Okay, si Jack nga lang, okay? Another example here. Philippians chapter 1, 21. Okay? For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So, is Paul advocating suicide? Hindi, di ba? Hindi yun yung ibig sabihin ni Paul. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Ganun din, ano? We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So ano yan? Ina-advocate niya yung suicide. Mamatay na lang tayo. That's better. In a way, that's true. But we don't do it. Okay? So yung principle dyan is, alright, if somebody dies, it's fine. It's okay because that person is going away with the Lord. Okay? Hindi tinuturo ng Bible na magpakamatay ka na lang. Or yung iba na, sige, may sakit ako, todo na natin to. Huwag na magpagamot para magkita na kagad ni Lord. So hindi ganon yung tinuturo ng Bible. Okay? So when the literal sense is illogical, it's absurd, it's unnatural, then hanap ka ng spiritual meaning. Pag literally you could learn from it, okay na yon. When you're reading a parable, don't over-spiritualize everything. Yung iba kasi, pag parable, lahat binibigyan mo na meaning, lahat binibigyan mo na, yan, binanggit, symbol yan for something. No. When you read a parable, may central message lang yon. Iisa lang ang message nun. Again, never over-spiritualize. Number three, principle is original meaning. Since the Bible was written in three languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, the study of word meanings, grammar, and syntax is important for proper understanding. Okay? Sinasabi lang yan, arali mo lang. Okay, mag-research ka rin. Okay, if you could consult a Greek translation or yung original meaning of the text, go to that. Ang maganda ngayon, I mean, you look at the web, marami na. Hindi mo na kailangan bumili ng libro. May online na concordance na. May online na Hebrew and Greek. Di ba? May parallel na Bible. Makikita mo yan, yung interlinear. Yung Bible study tools, meron doon. May mga commentaries na. So, pwede mong aralin. Okay? Alright, eto. Eto medyo nakakatawa lang, ano? Pero I'll show it to you. Nakakatawa or absurd? Anyway, Luke 23:43. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. There are other translations or people would claim this. Jesus answered him, I'll tell you the truth today, you will be with me in paradise. Ano pinagkaiba? Na comma. Yung comma, pag nilipat mo lang, magkaiba na ng meaning. Nakuha niyo? I tell you the truth. Today, meaning right now, you will be with me in paradise. Okay, yung isa naman, I tell you the truth today. you will be with me in paradise future. Anong pinakaiba? Comma lang. You see, one small na, ano, yung difference, iba na nakagad yung meaning. Dapat mong aralin. So, a whole two sets of doctrines were actually formed because of this. So, yung iba nagsasabi, ay, hindi pa, wala pa. Okay? Wala pa. Soul sleep lang. Until the day of judgment, gigisingin tayo lahat. So, ngayon, wala pa sa heaven yung mga tao, tulog lang. Okay? According to the second interpretation. Yung iba naman sinasabi, alright, nasa heaven na. Okay? Nandun na yung mga tao ngayon, meron na nasa langit ngayon. Yung judgment, yun yung babalik tayo dito and a new heaven and a new earth will be formed, dun tayo eternally titira. Pero yung mga tao ngayon, walang soul sleep, buhay na sila. Or at least, they are with God right now. Okay? So magkaiba, no? Because of a comma. Diba? How about this one? Yung ano, original Greek naman. Genesis chapter 3 verse 16. Probably you know, well, some of you know this already. The woman, to the woman he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. Okay? So remember, God is cursing them, putting judgment on them. Right? Kaya sabi ni Lord, babae, you will have pains in childbearing. Pag nanganak ka, masakit, mahihirapan ka. Because it's judgment nga, right? Second part of that, your desire will be for your husband. Now, desiring for your husband, is that a judgment? Hindi ba parang maganda naman yun eh? Diba? To keep the unity, the covenant of marriage, okay naman na dapat yung desire mo is for your husband. No, paano siya naging judgment? If you would study that, okay, yung word na desire na yan, the original Greek would tell you, ginamit uli yan in another occasion. Now, pag inaral mo kung saan ginamit yan, it's in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. If you do what is right, you will not be will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. So the same Greek word was used. The word, yan. Okay. Teshukaw, parang ganon. Basta. Okay, basahin nyo na lang. Okay, so ano ibig sabihin? Yung desire na, yung original Greek meaning, yung desire, yung, di ba, yung sin is crouching at your door. And it desires to have you, to master you, to take hold of your life. So yun yung desire na ginagamit doon. So when God was passing the judgment to the woman, God was saying, your desire is for your husband. Meaning to say, to control, to take over, to usurp the authority, the power, and the position. That is why it has become a curse. That is why you look at... I'm not saying this because I'm a husband. Sinasabi, ito kasi yung tinuturo ng Bible. The Bible would teach us, wives, you have to submit to your husband. Bakit kailangan ituro? Kasi the natural desire is to take over, to disagree. Nakuha nyo? Okay, so now it makes sense because you looked at the original Greek meaning. So it pays to study the Bible. Get it? Okay? Okay ba, mga men? Clear ba? Parang nagalit yung iba, no? So, in short, yes, Wena. Sorry, please listen. Please grab a mic.
If it was a judgment on God, of God on Eve, some women would contradict, si God pala naggawa ng ganun sa women eh. So that's why women are naturally controlling. So, di ba,
I understand your argument.
So how do we answer yung ganung klaseng questions?
Well, that's the consequence of sin eh. But there are certain things that, of course, we can ask, but we can never question. Kasi if that is your line of reasoning, you know what? I also have that. And I can even give you more. Like, si Lord naman ang gumawa kay Lucifer eh. Bet niya pa ginawa in the first place? Eh bakit naglagay pa siya ng tree doon na pwede pang matempt si, ano, si Adam and Eve? Eh siya naman lahat na may gawa nun eh. You see, if you go that route, you would begin to question God. And you would be on the wrong position at the end. So, you don't use that as an argument to make an excuse. Alright? Nakuha mo yung, ano, yung line ko naman ng thinking. But I do get you. But the point is, kaya nga may redemption eh. Kaya nga may salvation eh. Kaya nga may new creation eh. Kaya nga may transforming the mind. Your way of thinking. Diba? That's why merong putting off and putting on. That's why you put to death the flesh and be led by the Holy Spirit. So may redemption din yan. Okay? So may, yes, there are curses because it's part of the consequence of sin. But when God deals with the sin, then magiging ideal na uli. Magbabalik sa normal.
Yeah. Thank you for that na clarification because we normally minister to wives who are naturally controlling their husbands.
So kasi that's part a good of, input. Once you are saved, you are renewed eh. Okay, so you go back to the natural design, which is man being the head, woman to co-labor, to partner. Alright? Okay, so in short of having yung mga Greek, ano, so paano ba? Eh, many times, wala naman talaga tayong time or wala kang access to a Greek lexicon or a Greek dictionary. How do you go about it? Or when do you know when to check it in Greek? So, ito lang yung ginagawa ko personally. Oh. I look at, ano, look at several translations from the Bible, of the Bible. Okay? I look at a verse. Pag medyo nalito ako or gusto kong maklarify yung verse na yon, tumitingin ako ibang translations. And it actually helps. Look to verse 14, NIV. Okay. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men, on whom His favor rests. Okay? So, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men, on whom His favor rests. So, ibig bang sabihin yan, nung dumating si Jesus, He has brought peace to all men, and that all men has His favor? So, lahat ba yon? I mean, ano, may peace na ba lahat kasi pinanganak si Jesus? Matthew 10:34 would say, do not suppose that, and I read ito, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. So parang magkaiba yata yung sinasabi. Sabi dun sa una, I have come, okay, to bring peace. Eh, yun na yun. Okay, peace para sa mga tao on whom His favor rests. Parang generic, all of men would now receive peace and favor from God. Pero sabi sa Matthew, hindi daw. Sabi ni Jesus, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword, division. So ano talaga, how do you now understand yung Luke chapter 2 verse 14? Again, try to read it from different translations para maintindihan natin. King James Version, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Parang generic pa rin. Di ba? For all. Okay? ASV, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. Medyo na iba. Medyo may qualifier na dito. Okay, He brings peace to those na pleased si Lord sa life nila. Alright? May qualifier na, amplified. Glory to God on the highest, meaning to say heaven, and on earth peace among men with whom He is well pleased, men of goodwill of His favor. So again, may qualifier na. So hindi mo pwedeng sabihin, since because Jesus came in, everybody will have peace. Everybody has found favor in the sight of God. Kasi that's tantamount to saying, everybody will be saved. It's tantamount to saying, since because Jesus died on the cross, okay, lahat saved na, kasi nabayaran na. So people would now think, okay, lahat saved na. Literally, we're all saved. It's just a matter of you accepting the gift. That's faulty. Faulty yung doctrine na yon. That's wrong theology. Why? Kasi generic yung thinking mo. Hindi. The reality is, si Lord yon. The reality is, God has chosen. The reality is, yung pag sinabing election, that actually exists. Alright? And our response is, hindi yung, eh Lord, parang unfair. Hindi, hello. Kung ikaw binigyan ka ng favor, would you cry out unfair? Ano response mo? Thank you. You get it? So, ganun dapat. I mean, pag naiintindihan mo to, grateful ka, hindi kayong, eh Lord, paano naman yung ano, paano naman sila, di ba? Yung people would come to me, ano, Pastor, eh paano yung nakatira dun sa bundok na yung talagang walang kuryente, walang access, paano sila maliligtas? And I throw the question back to them. Don't you think your God is merciful enough to do something about it? Di ba? Many times when we question kasi, we feel na para mas merciful ka pa kaysa kay Lord eh. Para mas iniisip mo pa yung nasa bundok kaysa kay Lord. Hello? Siya kaya yung Diyos? You get the point? You see? So hindi generic. Okay, medyo ano, sorry, medyo theological. But the point is study so that you would understand. Okay? Number four, progressive revelation. God initiated revelation but He did not reveal His truths all at the same time. Hindi nilatag lahat-lahat ni Lord. Progressive yan. As you study the Word of God, there will be things that you would understand now and then fully understand later. Or there will be times na you think you understood it already only to find out that you are wrong. And a greater and a more truthful revelation would come later on. Okay, so the point lang is, be ready for that. I-reveal ni Lord yan unti-unti, progressively. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 to 17. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So, pag binasa mo yung Old Testament, the stories there, they are but a shadow, a foretaste of what is yet to come. John 7:37 to 38. On the last day, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from him, from within him." 39, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So ano yung sinasabi dito? Even the work of the Spirit is limited. The Holy Spirit is limited. Iba yung move niya in the Old Testament. Iba yung move niya in the Gospels. Iba yung move niya in Acts today. Okay? So iba-iba, greater revelation each time. Sabi nila, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So the Old Testament is a foretaste. Ano sinasabi sa atin? As you study the Word of God, don't discard the Old Testament as obsolete. Because everything that is written in the New Testament will be established, would be confirmed by the Old Testament. All right? Sinabi na kasi sa Old Testament, kaya nangyayari ngayon sa New Testament. So confirmation 'yon. Okay? So pag nagbasa ka, ay hindi, wala na 'to, obsolete na 'to. Kaya nga sabi ni Jesus, "I have not come to abolish the law but to fulfill it." Okay? Does that mean wala na 'yung law kasi under grace na tayo? Hindi. The law is still in effect. The only thing is Jesus accomplished the law, satisfied the law by his sacrifice. Pero the law is still in effect. Kasi pag sinabi mo, "Ay, I'm not under the law anymore, I am under grace." So ibig sabihin pwede ka nang pumatay? So ibig sabihin you can now lie? So now you could covet? Hindi. Okay, the law is still in effect. Kaya lang, inayos na nga ni Jesus. Number five, historical background. Includes the economic, cultural, social, political, geographical, and religious situation during the time the Bible was written. The Bible was composed in a specific cultural or at a particular point in time. Okay, so meron yan pag inaral mo. Sayang, wala na tayong time. Ano, papabasa ko sana sa inyo yung Mark 11. Remember yung story, naglalakad si Jesus. Okay? And then he was hungry. Gutom siya. Papunta siya ng temple. Papunta siya ng Jerusalem. So naglalakad si Jesus kasama yung disciples niya. Now, gutom siya. He saw a fig tree in leaf. Natandaan yung story? Okay. So ngayon, dahil hungry si Jesus, lumapit siya dun sa fig tree. Tapos sabi nga nun, finding no fruit, he cursed. But then, sabi dun, there was no fruit because it was not season for figs. Alright? Hindi pa season na nagbubunga talaga siya, na may pruta siya. Kaya lang si Jesus, pinuntahan, kahit out of the season, wala nakita, he cursed. And then he went on in his journey, pumunta sa Jerusalem. What happens in the temple? He overturned, di ba, yung tables kasi ginagawang bentahan. Tapos the next time, dumaan sila uli doon, nagulat yung disciples. Sabi nga nun, "Oy, yung fig tree na kinurse mo, nalanta, it withered." Okay? So now, question is, and this is a very difficult question, anong nangyari kay Jesus doon? Mainit ang ulo dahil gutom? Right? What, was he acting weird? Ano sa tingin nyo? Parang ang labo, di ba? Eh, hello Jesus, Pumunta ka sa fig tree. Yes, it is in leaf, pero it's not season for figs. Sinabi ni Mark yon sa Bible. In-include ni Mark. Bakit niya in-include yon? Because that's a very important insight. You see, a lot of atheists would say, oh, kita mo, si Jesus, mainit din ang ulo. Diba? Tao lang yan, nag-iinit din ang ulo. Kinurse ka, nagkamali pa eh. But hindi niya ba alam na hindi season for figs? Diba? Pero pag if you study that, then you would understand, hindi mainit yung ulo ni Jesus. What he was doing was he is setting up something na mangyayari dun sa temple. Ano yun? Pag inaral mo yung fig tree, and again, this takes research. Pag inaral mo yung fig tree, kahit hindi siya in season, may bunga yan. Maliliit, buds. Maliliit lang yan. Sabi nila, size of an almond. So, maliliit siya. Now, isulat nyo na, i-research nyo, no? Ang tawag nila rin sa maliliit na bunga na yon is T-A-Q-S-H. Hindi ko alam paano i-pronounce. Ni-research ko, Tuakaw. Pero T-A-Q-S-H, parang layo, di ba? But it's, the Palestinian Arabs would call it that way. So, hayaan na lang natin sila. Basta yun yung tawag. Now, yung maliliit na buds na yon, okay, lumalabas yon pag in green leaf yung mga fig tree. So, ang gagawin ng mga tao, they would pick that and eat it. Nakakain na kagad yon. Now, yung tuakaw na yon, yung maliliit na yon, would also determine kung magbubunga ng real fruit yung fig. Kasi bud yun eh. B-U-D. Okay? Hindi B-A-D, ano? Okay. Okay, so pag merong tuakaw, ibig sabihin nun, magbubunga. Pag walang tuakaw, hindi magbubunga yan. Kaya si Jesus, nung pumunta siya, not even a sign of fruitfulness of life. That's why he cursed it. Nakuha nyo? So hindi lang mainit yung ulo ni Jesus. It actually makes sense. Because pagpunta niya dun sa temple, what does he see? What is supposed to be bearing fruit and people being led to a relationship with God, ano nangyayari? Bentahan. Kaya niya in-overturn yun. Kaya galit na galit si Jesus. Kasi walang fruit. Now, he is about to curse that kind of religiosity. Kasi it's all about laws. It's all about the sacrifices na binibili mo. It's all about convenience. Bakit ba may nagbibenta ron? Para hindi ka na magdala. Pera na lang. Doon ka na. Bibili ka na pang sacrifice mo. So, mas madali. Wala nang ka-effort. Now, that's the whole point. Okay? Why? Because you studied yung background. Yung historical, yung cultural, yung social. Importante yon. Pag may nakita kang medyo difficult passages in the Bible, take it as a challenge. Arali mo, may revelation dyan. Alright? Okay, at least clear yung story sa inyo. Okay, hindi mainitin ang ulo ni Jesus, ha? Hindi siya absurd na parang, hello, hindi ba alam, out of season? Parang ang revelation mo si Lord, minsan magde-demand sa'yo kahit hindi niya man dapat. Eh, maling revelation yun. Okay? Alright. 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses and trust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Now, if you study 2 Timothy, this is the last epistle written by Paul before he died. Okay? So, nung sinasabi ni Paul yan na i-entrust mo yan to reliable men, I mean, naghihintay na siya ng death sentence niya. Naghihintay na siya last stretch of his life. So now, pag naintindihan mo yan, now it brings greater weight on that passage. Now, parang makukuha mo, importante talaga i-pass on to the next generation yung ginagawa natin. Okay, hindi lang yan na, okay, maganda lang, may tinuruan kami, mentor kami, kinotch kami, ni-raise up ka, hindi ganon. Ang kumbaga, kay Paul, nakasalalay dito yung future ng gospel. That is why, entrust to reliable men. That's why you disciple today because you won't be here forever. Alright? So, iba yung weight sa atin. Remember yung last na preaching about yung tanong ni Jesus, no? Who do you say I am? Diba? Saan niya tinanong yon? He didn't ask that question in a temple. Hindi niya tinanong yon. Saan niya tinanong? Here in this area, Caesarea Philippi. Now, Caesarea Philippi is very far from Jerusalem. Ito yung center. Nandito yung temple. Yung lahat ng everything Jew, it's in Jerusalem. Pero nung magpapakilala si Jesus kung sino talaga siya, where did he do it? In Caesarea Philippi. That's 120 miles away. Ang layo, pumunta pa siya ron, sa kanya tinanong. Hindi ba mas maganda tinanong niya na nasa temple siya? Who do you say I am? Tapos i-reveal niya that he is the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. Di ba mas maganda kung sa temple yung setting? Ba't hindi ginawa ni Jesus? Ba't sa Caesarea Philippi? Kasi if you study by history, Caesarea Philippi, hindi yan yung original name niyan. Ang original name ng lugar is Panion. Based on an idol, on a small letter G god, si Pan, the god of nature. Kaya ang original name is Panion. Now, bakit naging Caesarea Philippi? Kasi yung si Herod the Great, okay, inentrust sa kanya ng Romans yung Panion. Nung siya yung in charge, nagtayo pa nga siya ng statue para kay Caesar. Tapos nung namatay siya, pinass on niya yung authority to rule over that place sa anak niya, si Philip. So si Philip, pinalitan niya yung pangalan. Pinalitan niya based sa pangalan nung emperor, si Caesar, at based sa pangalan niya, Philip. Kaya naging Caesarea Philippi. Now, ito yung history. Nung magpapakilala si Lord, he chose Caesarea Philippi as the location. Why? Because Caesarea Philippi is the center of idolatry. Because it's a center of man's glory. So si Lord, hindi sanitized pag nagpakilala. He would rather, in the midst of idolatry and man's glory, he would reveal himself. And it's a good understanding, as if God was challenging. Di ba yun yung point noon? Okay, in the midst of the accolades of man, in the midst of the success of man, in the midst of the achievements of man, and at the height of idolatry, false gods, sabi ni Lord, who do you say I am? Parang nung tinanong ni Jesus yon, ang background, okay, napapalibutan tayo ng lahat ng maling belief. I'm challenging you now. Sino ako sa tingin nyo? Compare me, dare to compare me to your glory and to your false idols. That's the whole idea. Kaya pag naitindihan mo nung, ayun pala yung background nun, then you would better appreciate yung tinanong ni Jesus yon. Kasi si Jesus, kina-challenge niya, sige nga, kumpara mo nga ako. Sige nga, sino ba ako sa'yo? Sige nga, compare mo ako sa achievements mo. Sige nga, compare mo ako sa lahat na natutunan mo. Compare mo ako. Sige, compare mo ako dun sa ibang pinagkakatiwalaan mo. Sa pinaghahanapan mo ng blessings. Compare mo ako. You see, if you get that, now you have a better understanding of who Jesus is and how incomparable and above and sovereign He is. Okay? Now, how did you get to that point? Because you studied the Bible. Okay? So again, study the Bible. Alright? Maganda po yan. Number 6, unity of the Scriptures. No part of the Bible may be interpreted so as to contradict another part of the Bible. Hindi pwedeng may contradiction yan. Pag hindi mo maitindihan lang, aralin mo pa kasi makikita mo yan. Okay? Although the Bible has human authors, there is one preeminent author. Okay? Iisa lang. Maraming writers, maraming nagsulat, but overall, there is one absolute author who guides everyone, every author, and that is God Himself. That is why we say, Scripture interprets itself. So, ibig sabihin, one verse is supported by another verse. Bakit tinanggal natin yung apokrifa? Bakit tinanggal ng mga ng mga Christians or ng mga born again or basta, but wala tayong apokrifa? Because never na nag-quote si Jesus from that. Never in the Bible yung mga principles dun sa apokrifa can be supported by the entirety of what the Bible is teaching. All right? Kaya tinanggal natin 'yon kasi hindi ma-prove na talagang divine or divinely inspired. I have some examples here. I have to skip it. I have no more time. Okay. I'll give you my keynote. Convert nyo na lang sa PDF and you could give it to them. Okay lang? All right. Okay, so unity of the Scriptures. God as the author has one solid, cohesive message that He reveals to the believer. Iisa lang yon. Kaya united talaga yung Scriptures. Hindi pwede magtalo-talo yan. Of course, I know there are difficult passages. Pero pag inaral mo yan, hindi naman talaga siya contradictory. Actually, complementary pa yan. Okay? Lastly, genre. The books of the Bible are either history, poetry, prophecy, proverbs, and parables, which should be approached differently for proper understanding. Pag history yan, take it as it is. Alright? Huwag mo masyadong spiritualize. Kung poetry yan, iba rin yung approach. May ano yan, medyo may allegorical yan, may parallelism yan, may a little bit of symbolism. So, hindi siya yung as is. Next, yung pag-prophecy, all the more, hindi siya ano, no? Yan, hindi literal yan kasi full of symbolism yan. Alright? Let me end with this. Sorry to take up so much of your time. Eto na lang, siguro, I got this, I heard this from Pastor Bernard, ano? Every time you read the Bible, this is a good, ano raw, this is a good grid for you to help you, ano, kung ano yung, what you need to look for. Space pet. Parang pangit, ano? But anyway, pag nabasa ka ng Bible, is there a sin for you to confess? Is there a promise that you could claim? Is there an attitude that needs to be changed? Is there a command for you to obey? Is there an example to follow? A person to imitate? An error to avoid? A truth to believe? Okay? So at least may guide ka lang. Pag nagbasa ka, ano ba yan? Ano yung check dyan? At least ano yung hahanapin ko? Okay? With that, I end my session. Okay. Sorry, ano, may mga in-skip ako, but as you get my ano no, yung keynote or the PDF file, you would see a lot of things there. So siguro aralin niyo na lang rin kasi meron ako mga in-skip talaga. Kulang eh. But anyway, at least the goal is I hope I mentioned a lot of illustrations or examples to you that would inspire you to actually dig the Bible more. If you think you're already studying the Bible, think again. 'Di ba may mas malalim pa 'yan? And again, ano yung preaching nga last Sunday, it's yung ano yung wise builder who dug down deep, somebody who went beyond the superficial, dug down deep. And that is the calling of God for all of us, to dig down deep into his word to get better and clearer revelations. All right? Let me just pray for you. Just stay seated, bow down your heads, close your eyes. Lord, I thank you, Lord God. Lord, in a brief moment that we have spoken about how to study your word, I pray, Lord God, if there's anything that we have accomplished, is that we are challenged today to go deeper, Lord God, as we read the Bible, to seek you, Lord God, and seek clearer revelations, that we won't read it and take it as it is, Lord God, but really give you time and an opportunity to speak to us, Lord God. Because that's who you are, Lord. You long to speak to your people. You long to tell us how much you love us and how much you want our lives to align with your will. And I pray, Lord God, that you would create a new sense of enthusiasm, a new desire. Lord, yung sinabi ng psalmist, that we would hunger and thirst for you and for your word. That indeed, Lord God, Lord, kung kami hindi kami makatiis na hindi kumakain or uhaw na uhaw kami, let it be the same attitude that we will have whenever we would open the Bible and read. Lord God, that there is a desire to dig in. Lord, na, Lord, as a feast is laid before us, Lord, we would eat as much as we can. Lord God, because we want you, Lord God, in our lives. Lord, I pray that as we read the Bible, you would strengthen our relationship with you. That as we read the Bible, we would know you more and we would love you more. And as we love you, we will obey you more, Lord God, and so that we could glorify you with our very own lives. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.